Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's great to be here together again, and especially around this time of year. This morning, I'm going to share a few thoughts with you about hope. And I'm saying it's good to be here. Who's glad to be here?
Please.
Good, okay, because there's a lot of other places in this world at the moment that you think, I'm glad I'm not there. And it's good to be here, and that's something we really, really, really should be incredibly thankful for to the Lord, and to take advantage of that. Wasn't it? Advantage of that, to live into the grace that we have, and to live out of that. Been focusing on hope as we come up to Christmas. I wonder which of the Christmas events are your favourite ones. The ones that you think about maybe sometimes, even not at Christmas. And do you have any events like that? I wonder what they would be. I certainly have them. Okay, that didn't work. Let's try that. All right. And there's a part that I always pause at, and I come back to through the year. To that part time and time again, and it actually gives me immense and continuing and deepening hope the longer I go. Now, I haven't been going as long as some of you, but I've been going longer than many of you, and I just grow in hope when I read this. Some people, you know, they travel around, and they've got goes.
Sorry, Andrew, can you move your mic just a little bit lower, and then Chris will be able to get the sound right.
Is that right?
Try that.
All right, we'll try again. You know, if you've been around the world a bit, there's places that you visit, and you go, you know, great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live here. Okay. Anybody had that kind of experience? Okay. And our world can be like that sometimes. Sometimes you get the feeling, you know, like if we could arrange it, great place to visit, but I prefer not to live here, actually, if I had the choice. And sometimes my life is like that. You know, my life sometimes is a good place to visit, but boy, oh boy, I wish I could go home somewhere else sometimes. Yeah, with that. And maybe you have a sense of that. We live in a world that is beautiful, but it's messed up. It's messed right up. Just like us. Actually, we're the reason that the world is messed up. We've got many beautiful things about us, but there's a lot of stuff that's messed up. And the hope that's offered to us is often somewhat flimsy. It's one of those things where my wife, she sometimes faints. She says to me, she's a primary school teacher, and I do something, and she says, good effort. I hear you all understand what I'm talking about. Okay? And sometimes our efforts at creating hope in the world, you know, the response is like, good effort. But does it really hit me? Now, this slide that I've got up here, it came up on my Facebook page. And I think it was a Christian who put it up, but anyway, and it's a good thing. It says, candles of hope, where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, of peace for tempest-tossed days, of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all the year long. And that's really great, and it's good. But for me, in myself, okay, it may be different for you, but for me, when I read something like that, my response is, good effort. You know? It's good. It's good to do all those things, but I'm not sure it actually hits the mark or does something in there. It's a sense of trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Let me ask you, how are you coping with your world? You know, are you coping with your world? How are you coping with it? All those things, you know, that face you, the issues that come up, you go, it's nice and I'm having a good time, I'm trying to be positive, I'm trying to do all that, and life gets in the way. You know, these things that we just can't avoid there. Luke describes a situation very much like that. And if we go into that passage, okay, not just as a Christmas story, but we go into it, into the situation, we see that there's a situation which is very similar to what we can sometimes feel here in our life today. But let me see if I can work this. Yo, look at that. Now, did I press the wrong button? Okay, let's just go quick, really quickly through it. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way. That's my problem. Sorry, there you go. Okay, it's an empire. It's the Roman Empire. They're living under the rule of the rulers of your world. Okay, and for the people, for Joseph, Mary, and the others there, Rome was it. That was it. There was no, they were in control. That's all there is to it, buddy. You know, like it or lump it in there. Caesar Augustus. The word Caesar, you probably know, is translated to Kaiser. And Caesar has become synonymous with total power. Okay, and Caesar had that total power. He made a decree and he went out, we're going to count you. All right, on a census all throughout the whole empire, and that included where Joseph and Mary were. Okay, it was the first census, we read in verse 2 there, taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and Syria is that whole area. If you look at the west, eastern side of the Mediterranean, from above it down the side down to Egypt. So where modern Turkey is down to Egypt, in biblical times that was Syria then. So it was in that area as well there. We keep going with it. And it said everyone went to his own town to register. It affected Israel. And so Joseph, he went up from Nazareth to Galilee, Judea. Okay, and it says it affected people like Joseph, and who were submitting to the irony of having to be counted in their own country, okay, in a place they call home, but under which they had no control. It wasn't convenient. And on top of all that, or maybe underneath all that, all right, and we went there, we have the fact that he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him in marriage. Okay, something's happened there. Well, there you go. And expecting a child. Very, very uncomfortable situations. Okay, culturally, practically, okay, not a good time and not a good situation to be in. And these are the events of Christmas. And they take place smack bang in the middle of the most inauspicious circumstances. Circumstances of which they had no control. How has your year been? How much of your year have you felt under your control? Have you been able to influence world events? Randall, have you been able to have a chat with Mr. Fruitler? You know, just to give him the benefit of your suggestions, you know? Anybody else with Mr. Netanyahu? Got a couple of things to say to him. Mr. Erdogan, Mr. Xi Jinping. Don't want to be so ambitious. Mr. Albanese, you know? Anyone had a chat to have with, an opportunity to have a chat to people in power that affect your world, whose decisions affect your world? You know, put your hand up if you've been able to do that, you know? And I'll talk to you later. Why don't you give me an introduction? Okay. Have you and your family been able to keep sickness, misfortune, and other pressures at bay? As I said, what do we have in the face of all the in-your-face stuff that we face? Can there be hope? If so, where? Go on in verse 6, and it said that while they were there, the time came for a child to be born. She gave birth. Okay, and then it goes down to verse, the angel appears, okay, and tells them that today in the city of David, the Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. Now here comes my favourite bit. I don't know if it's your favourite bit, but it's my favourite bit. Okay, it's the bit I come back to and ponder and draw strength and encouragement and wonder from again and again through the year. Suddenly there appeared the angel with a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, okay, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Now for me, I go, hang on, well, just hang on a second there. All right, let's have a look at this. You know, the great multitude. Who are these people? You know, I just get amazed. I'm going, these angels, all of a sudden, this great multitude appears. You know, what's going on here? Okay, heaps of them. And more than that, it actually sounds as though there's more where these came from. You know, and you go, this is interesting. This is interesting. They appeared and they disappeared. Okay, can you hear that? So that the shepherds are hanging around, all of a sudden this mob appears, praising God and everything else, and then they go. Where did they go? Who are these people? What's going on here? I'm always stunned by that. It really intrigues me. And where they went to heaven. Oh. So where's heaven? What's heaven? Because obviously these people came, these beings came from somewhere and went to somewhere. Which means that there is a somewhere which is not here. You follow me? Okay. And if there's a somewhere that is not here, this changes the whole of life as we live it. Okay? Because what it says is the here and the now is not all there is. Okay, the here and the now is not all there is. Is that important? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, it's very important because it talks about our predicament here. And to me, it says there's hope. There's hope. Because this isn't all there is. There is somewhere, some dimension, right, that's not here, and there's more than here. Okay? And these people are friendly. We come in peace. That's what they declare. God's peace to all people who align themselves with him. And that's really a relief, isn't it? You know, it's really a relief. If you've read War of the Worlds, you'd understand that that's a relief. Okay? This can change our lives. Now, what effect does this have for us? Are there any Trekkie fans here? Put your hand up if you know. Just put your hand up if you know I'm talking about Star Trek. All right, there's a few people here. All right, the rest of you, you'll just have to get educated. And that's okay. You remember, those of you that have watched Star Trek, you know, when you were young, okay, you remember that the beginning of each show, all right, that's the two handsome dudes, the key dudes there, and the beginning of each show started with these words: space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, and its five-year mission, which got changed to its ongoing mission, was to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, and to go where no man has gone before. And the language has changed a little bit lately, but it's the same issue there. This is a very, very influential series through my generation. And it affected a lot of people's worldview, a lot of ways people thought, and a lot about where does our hope come from. Because this series was about hope. Okay, it was about we have endless opportunities. There's a whole universe out there to be discovered. Look at a few things. New worlds. There's going to be new life. new civilizations boldly go, okay, we can do it. We can do it, you know, where no person's gone before. And here's the key one, that space was the final frontier. And of course implied in that is what? Sooner or later, somehow, we are going to reach the final frontier. We can do it, we're capable of doing it. Okay, which is good, yeah, that's all right. That's good to try that, but the implication in that is, what happens when you get to the final frontier? What's on the other side of it? We didn't answer that question. That's all right, then we'll leave and go. Now, how does reality stack up along the aspirations of this? Let's have a look at Mr. Kirk. Who remembers who played Captain Kirk? William Shatner, okay? And he played a few other roles as well with that. And in his own words, he popularized the idea that space was the final frontier, and in my words, that we're going to conquer it, okay? Now, I'm not just talking about a TV series here, I'm talking about something that has influenced our culture. In that, okay, and there's this picture there that, you know, if we can get out there, we can, you know, we can do anything in that. Now, Shatner actually went into space, okay, he went into space, and here are his words. He says, last year at that time, I had a life-changing experience at 90 years old. I went to space. And after decades of playing an iconic science fiction character who was exploring the universe, I thought I would experience a deep connection with the immensity around us, a deep call for endless exploration. I was absolutely wrong. The strongest feeling that dominated everything else by far was the deepest grief that I have ever experienced. So this is this bloke that has been totally immersed in, totally committed to, you know, the whole idea of Star Trek, of getting out there and, you know, looking at the universe. And Shatner said this, I understood in the clearest possible way that we were living on a tiny oasis of life, surrounded by an immensity of death. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Pretty interesting. I didn't see infinite possibilities of worlds to explore, of adventures to have, or living creatures to connect with. I saw the deepest darkness I could have ever imagined. Reality meets acting. Reality meets storytelling. Reality meets aspirations. It filled me with sadness. It was an immensely powerful awakening. I realised we'd spent decades, if not centuries, being obsessed with looking away, with looking outside. And I did my share in popularising this idea that, that space was the final frontier. But I had to get to space to understand that Earth is and will stay our only home. The irony of it. There's a book that you know that you get if you travel, you can buy it. It used to be the first great travel book, and it's called The Lonely Planet. And you know what? Without God, this piece of dirt we're on is smaller and less significant than the hair on a microbe's nose. If that. Have any of you ever seen those scale drawings of the Earth in relation to our galaxy? Let alone our galaxy in relation to what we know of the universe. Frontiers of space, Buckley's. Buckley's. It's like me going, I've heard about America, and I'm going to go there. And I go down to Tin Can or to Rainbow, and I hop in the water and start swimming. What was that? Good luck, all right. The longer I go, what happens? Reality starts to hit me. You go, this is even further than I thought. And I haven't even got, you know, like to New Zealand. And the immensity of it, and that's nothing compared to what we look at in space. Are we going to reach that frontier? No, we're not. But here's the thing. Someone from over there has come here. Someone from outside, not just of our planet, not just our solar system, not just this, the whole universe, has come here. It's stunning, isn't it? It's absolutely, like, this is one of those things that, I don't know for you, I don't know if you think about these things, right? But for me, it's like it's an all or nothing. You know, we are either worth absolutely zip, zero, nothing, right? And less than that if possible. Or we are worth infinity. Now, there's nothing in between. There really isn't nothing in between. I know we live our lives in that kind of area in between. But actually, those are the truths. And when we get a hold of this, that actually this one is the truth. That the one who's outside the universe, who holds the whole thing, actually came here to you and me. That's got to change your life. That's got to change your life. And give us great hope in that. We need to get a hold of that. Because the world outside that, we feel as though we're stuck in a black box. And for a lot of people, what happens is, or for some of you here maybe, and for me, is that we live in the reality of that black box. And sometime in the process of living in it, we may start to notice, and we start to notice within our black box, something appears on the floor of the room, and we go, wow, look at that. Look at that. That's an amazing painting, isn't it? Isn't that fantastic? It glows. And slowly, as we look at that more and more, this thing that appears in our life, okay, slowly as we look at it more and more, something else happens. Our eyes are drawn up, and we realize it's actually not painted on the floor. But it's actually a result of this thing, this opening, higher. And as we look at that opening, we see it shaped as a cross. And we see Jesus, and we listen to Jesus, and we start to recognize this is the one who has come, the one who holds all of that. And then when we watch Jesus and we look and we listen to him more closely, what we see is actually what he's showing us is that through that, there's this whole other world out there. That the light that we have here comes from there. And that there's this whole other existence outside of our thing here. And that gives us hope. Because he has come to us. That is one of the amazing things about Christmas. And the hope that comes from God is not just, I'm hoping it'll happen, but it's a hope that has substance. And it's a hope that we can live in. It comes from beyond what humanity can see, beyond that final frontier. Okay? Because all of the universe and all of that is inside God. Jesus is God. I know we think of that as a definition of Jesus. You know, he's deity and all that theology. But I want this morning just to, if it's possible for you to get a hold of this fact, Jesus is God come into this world. When we look and talk to Jesus, we're looking and talking to God. When we talk about baptism, we say, it's dying to ourselves, it's having that new life. You know what that new life is? It's not an it. It's a him. It's the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. It's God putting his nature into us. It's God doing that which we cannot do. It's bringing us into connection with him. In an inseparable way. It's fulfilling that for which you and I were always designed for, were always created for. You know, when it talks in Scripture about all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that idea of falling short is not the idea of, you know, we usually get the picture of it shooting at something and we miss it. It's not that at all. It's actually, we have fallen short. That which we were designed for, our destiny. And Jesus comes and says, I'm giving you hope. I'm giving you hope to connect back into that here and now. And on into whatever's beyond that window, if you want to put it that way. And this hope is different. So just in closing, and in thinking about that Christian hope, the hope in Jesus. There's a number of things we're told in Scripture. In Isaiah 49, verse 23, God says, and it's the same of Jesus, those who hope in me will never be put to shame. Will never be put to shame. You know what? In the context, that's a big deal. Being shamed, losing face, there's nothing worse than that. Kill me before you shame me. You know, it's the idea of being embarrassed because I made the wrong choice. It's the idea of being found out to go on back this plan and then fail. Sucker. You are a fool. And God says, those that put their hope in him will never, ever, ever be embarrassed. Will never, ever be ashamed. Will never ever have cause to regret that decision. In fact, in Jeremiah, it says, all who turn away from God, they'll be written in dust if they abandon the Lord who is the fount of the living water. It says, they will be put to shame. That's where the shame comes. That's where the embarrassment comes. 5 seconds after you and I have died, anyone has died, we stand before Jesus. Those that have trusted in Christ, no shame, no embarrassment. But I'll tell you what, if you haven't, there's going to be a whole lot of people who go, oops, got that wrong. Got that wrong. And don't think that you and I will be rejoicing in that fact. Okay? And don't think that, oh, it's going to be some, you know, somebody's going to stand there and go, no, but wait a minute, you know, this gets, you're not going to give me no waiting minutes. You know why? Because before God even says a word, those people who have not trusted in him, they themselves will make a statement. I've got a problem. But if we've trusted in him, the hope that we have means that we will never, never ever be ashamed. We'll never have cause to be embarrassed. So what do we do about that? In Hebrews, in chapter 6 of Hebrews, it says this. It says that, it says that we have this hope, talks about that in the rest of the chapter, this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love that. I love that. That picture of an anchor. firm and secure. Chain secure. A chain for what? For my soul. For my soul. The deepest part can be totally secure in Christ, no matter what else happens. There's that security. This is it. Anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary, behind the curtain, in the innermost holy of holies, where God is, where Jesus, our forerunner, has entered. Okay, and is our high priest forever. He's the one that we are locked into. And then in Hebrews 10 it says this: let us hold resolutely to that hope we profess. Why? Because he who has promised is faithful. If you put your hope in Christ, you know that you are secure. Why? Not because of me and you, because of him. Because he is the one who is faithful. So, with those words of encouragement, I want to remind you just quickly, we have a real hope. A hope that is based beyond this universe, but which comes into this universe, into your life and my life, into your very daily things, into all the things that you face. That hope is there. It's because Jesus is there. And he's got a grip on you. He's got a grip on you. I encourage you with these words from Hebrews again. Let's hold resolutely to that hope, for he who promised is faithful. And lastly, those words, great words of 1 Peter. In your hearts, make, sanctify, set aside Christ as Lord. And the next words, always be prepared to what? Give a reason for the hope that you have. Because if you make Christ Lord of your life, the inevitable result will be a growing sense of hope. Those are my favourite events for Christmas. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the hope that is in you because of who you are. You have not left us abandoned. Lord, you created this universe, and you know the very size and composition of every molecule. If all hangs in you, but Lord, you are also around it and above it and beyond it. Father, we don't know all that, but in Christ we see the reality of you. We see all we need to know of you, and Lord, we know that we can have a relationship with you, that you can put your life in us. We thank you and we bless you and we praise you for that. Help us to continue living in that hope. As the word says to us, to hold on to it resolutely because you are faithful.